Greetings and welcome to our second mini-cast on Parashat B'Shalach. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and this is the second part of a two-parter that addresses the issue of the three-day festival intended in the desert that was consistently the focal point of the negotiations between Paro and Moshe, and that Paro finally allowed Bnei Israel to leave, and according to many Rishonim, it was when Paro discovered that Bnei Israel were not going for a three-day festival, either that they had already failed to return after 3 days, they were going in a different direction, as the Ramban has it, they weren't going towards a specific spot in the desert to bring an offering, that then he turned and chased them. And in the first of this series, we looked at the entire narrative from the perspective of Paro and what he understood. A general rule in reading narrative in Tanakh is you always have to forget about the fact that we know, in a sense, far more than the actors know, because we know what all the different actors know, and more significantly, we also know how the story plays out. And often that colors our understanding and interpretation of the story itself, and it removes from us the element of surprise and lots of other elements that are significant in the text because, again, we know how it's going to play out. This is a prevalent issue in the entire interaction between Yosef and his brothers from the get-go, as many have written and commented on it, but is also significant in our narrative because we know that Bnei Israel are leaving Egypt. We also know that they're going to be in the desert for 40 years. We also know that Moshe is not going to make it to the land, etc., etc. And often that colors the way that we read the narrative as it is happening. Removes us from some of the very exciting and tense reading of the text. So now we have to look at the entire series of events from the perspective of Am Yisrael. Moshe came to Bnei Yisrael, and what did he tell them? We have to remember that when Moshe was first approached by Hashem at the Sneh, as I mentioned in the last podcast, he was told two things. He was told what the ultimate goal is, that I am seeing the affliction of my people, I'm going to take them out of Egypt, I'm going to bring them to the land of the Chiti, etc., the Eretz of Arhulav Advash, the land that I promised the ancestors to give them. And then the next statement was, you will tell this to Bnei Israel, and you and the elders will go to Paro, and you will demand a three-day furlough in the desert. And as I mentioned, that doesn't have to be seen as a deliberate ruse on Moshe's part, or even on Hashem's part, but rather could be understood as this is the immediate goal, to get the people out into the desert, to recovenant with them, to reconnect with them, and at some later point, they will leave. Now, in Moshe's entire interactions with Paro, the three-day festival is the issue. But as a member of Bnei Israel, how do you understand what's going on? Moshe comes to Paro and says, we want to go into the desert to connect with Hashem. Paro says, no, I don't know who this Hashem is. Why should I let you go? Finally, I'll let the men go. I'll let you go, but without the cattle, etc., etc. And finally, Paro lets them go. But if you're a member of Bnei Israel, how do you understand what's going on? Well, it all depends on how we read Moshe's presentation to Bnei Israel, which is at the beginning of Parashat Va'era, which is after the first attempts fail, and from Moshe's perspective are an abject failure, such that his entire mission seems to have backfired. And Hashem says to him at the beginning of Parashat Va'era, go tell Bnei Israel that I remember the Brit, and Lachenem Olim Bnei Israel, Ani Adonai Vahotzeiti Etchem, מארץ מתחת סבלות מצרים ויצלתי אתכם מעבודתם וגלתי אתכם מזרון תויה ושבטים גדולים. Famously, the four terms of redemption, I just mentioned three of them. Go tell Hashem Bnei Israel, I am Hashem Elohei Avotam, the God of their fathers. I will take you out. And remember, we are familiar with the words taken out of context. Vahotzeiti, ויצלתי, וגאלתי, ולקחתי. I will take you out, I will save you, I will redeem you, and I will take you unto me. But read in the entire sentence, a very different picture comes out. Votziti etchem means I will take you out of Sivlot Mitzrayim, the oppression of Egypt. Vitzalti etchem mi'avoratam, I will save you from working from them. Vigalti etchem, I will redeem you. None of those things have anything to do with leaving the land of Egypt. They all have to do with being freed from the harassment, from the oppression, from the status of being slaves in Egypt. What's the fourth term? Balakachti etchem li la'am, I will take you unto me as a nation. And these four are all presented in somewhat staccato form. After Balakachti etchem li la'am, there is a longer presentation. Vidatem, and you will know that I am Hashem, who is the one who takes you out, mitachat sivot Mitzrayim. Only after that, in the next pasuk, ve'viti etchem al ha'aretz. And traditionally, we've always viewed the first four as a unit, and the fifth as something disconnected. And indeed, it is disconnected. Because the immediate message to Bnei Israel is, I'm going to redeem you and save you from the oppression of Egypt. I will take you unto me as a nation. And at some later point in history, I will bring you to the land. And that's the way Bnei Israel understand it. Because what is it that goes on from their perspective throughout the entire narrative? Moshe is negotiating with Paro for the opportunity for Bnei Israel to go out into the desert and have a festival with God, to bring korbanot, to reconnect with the God of their ancestors, and Paro is refusing. And so the question arises, if that's all that's going on, why not just do it in Egypt? And we get the hint, the information, early on. Because when Paro, in negotiating with Moshe, says to Moshe to pray to God to stop, for instance, the frogs, Moshe says, when I leave the city, I'll pray. And Rashi, on the spot, comments says, the reason I can't pray here is it's a place filled with idolatry. So Am Yisrael cannot have its recovenanting with God right there in the heart of Egypt. But there's yet another reason. And that is that the recovenanting with God, and this is the reason Paro was so opposed to it, is not just a religious connection, it's a nationalistic connection. It's suddenly saying that this group is a nation that has a national destiny, that has a national connection to its God, and that ultimately is not enslaved, and ultimately is not going to be staying. So to do that in the middle of the space where you are enslaved, it's very inappropriate. And then there's a third very practical consideration. When Paro tells Moshe, L'chuz ifchula lo'echem baretz, go bring the korban here, what does Moshe say back? How could we do so? After all, we're going to bring an offering that the Egyptians despise, either because the Egyptians revere sheep, as the Midrash has it, or because the Egyptians despise sheep, and therefore despise shepherds, and we're going to bring this as an offering. Either way, the Egyptians will stone us and kill us. Now, it's an interesting aside. Paro, at that point, could have turned around and said, well, if your God is so all-powerful and all-protective, why are you afraid of that? He doesn't say that. However, there arise now three different reasons why not to have this festival in the heart of Egypt. One is, it's a place of tuma, it's a place of idolatry. Second of all, it's a place of slavery. And third of all, it's dangerous. What finally happens after the penultimate plague of Choshech? Is Bnei Yisrael are successful in going around and having the Egyptians give them their gold and their silver. It's very clear that the Egyptians are afraid of Bnei Yisrael as opposed to the opposite, which was previously the case. It seems also that Bnei Yisrael have been relieved to a great extent of their status as slaves. So now, after Makat Choshech, after the plague of darkness, which Bnei Yisrael do not know, this is the penultimate plague. They don't know it's number 9 of 10. They don't know that, oh, there's one more to go and then we're leaving. They're never told that. At that point, their entire relationship with their neighbor Egyptians has changed, such that they don't need to be afraid that if they bring an offering, the Egyptians will stone them. They don't need to feel like they're now recovenanting or celebrating to God in a place in which they're slaves, because they're not slaves, or if they are, it's certainly not of the same degree that they had earlier. And then there's the third consideration. They're in a place of idolatry. So what happens? The very next command is, tell Bnei Israel to bring the animals into their homes, and they're going to slaughter them in the home, and they're going to mark the home with the blood of the korban, and they are going to stay in the house all night as they celebrate. And if you're a member of Bnei Israel, you may be just understanding this as saying, aha, I guess we're going to do the festival here instead of going out to the desert. The marking of the houses may well be understood by Bnei Israel as saying, we're marking this off as sacred territory, and therefore untouched and unsullied by the idolatry that surrounds us. So that all three considerations that prevented them from celebrating in the land earlier are now removed. And so they celebrate. And they have no reason to think that in the morning they're going to be leaving. They don't know about that. They know that they're supposed to act like people who are ready to leave, but that doesn't mean they're leaving. And so what happens in the middle of the night after Makat Bechorot? Paro comes down and says to Moshe, go now. What does go now mean? Go now for your festival. Moshe says, we'll go when we're ready. And the next morning they march out. But they march out for what? Is there any point at which Moshe says to the people, and now we're leaving for Israel? And now we're leaving Egypt for good? Take all of your belongings with you? No, no, and no. So at this point, Bnei Israel very likely understand that they're going into the desert, that the korban that they just had was not the recovenanting that they thought it was, and now they have to go in the desert to do it, or there's a part two, or whatever it may be. And they go out towards the desert, and that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in to maneuver the situation to where it really needs to go. He has Bnei Israel double back and come to a place where they're stuck, so a combination of not going somewhere definitive in the desert to bring an offering and also going somewhere that looks like they're lost. And then he pulls Paro, as he says, I'm going to pull Paro into the fray. I'm going to turn his heart around. I'm going to strengthen his heart. And he's going to come after you. But what caused him to strengthen his heart? He sees that Bnei Israel are not going out for a short furlough. And Bnei Israel themselves don't know what's going on. All they know is that Moshe has brought them to a place where suddenly the Egyptian army is coming after them. And they've got the sea on the other side. And then you have to step back and ask one more question. Why does Paro send his army? Why doesn't Paro send his INS agents? Why doesn't Paro send his slave masters to come and get the slaves back? And that's where Hashem has turned his heart around. Because Paro now is not coming in order to get Bnei Israel to come back to be slaves. He's coming to kill Bnei Israel. And that's why he's got his best soldiers. And they come out. And that's what he says. Arik Harbi. I will slaughter them and we'll share the spoils together. That's in Shirat Hayam. So what happens is they get to the sea. And now for the very first time, Bnei Israel is told that this is your goodbye to Egypt. When Bnei Israel are crying out, Moshe turns to them and says, take a look. Asher ri'item et Mitzrayim hayom lo tosifu lerotam od ad olam. You see Mitzrayim today, you'll never see them again. God is going to fight for you and you be silent. And there is no reason to believe that Bnei Israel knew about this until this moment. That as far as they knew, they were going out. They were going to reconnect with God outside of Egypt. Evidently, Korban Pesach was not enough. And then, subsequent to that, they were going to come back and be good Egyptian citizens who were independent, who perhaps were restored to their fortunes of two or three generations earlier as lords of Egypt and landed gentry, as they had it while Yosef and that generation was alive. And then, ultimately, at some point, they'll come back to the ancestral land. Why do they end up leaving? Because Paro kicks them out. Paro drives them out, literally, with his chariots. And the only way for them to get away from the chariots is to go through this newly formed land bridge through the sea. When they come through, that Moshe miraculously opens. They come through. The Egyptians follow them. Moshe puts his staff up at the command of Hashem. Hashem brings the water down, destroys the Egyptians. And now Bnei Israel have effectively been booted out of the country. And now there's nowhere to go but to the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised to his ancestors, to Eretz Zavat Chalav U'Dvash.